Hi, this is Kevin, and I'm going to talk to Irene. She's a nurse here in Uganda. I thought it was a good opportunity. You know, we met at this Bible conference, and it's a good opportunity to talk about nursing in Uganda. So maybe I can get Irene to say her full name in the proper way, and then so maybe you can give a little introduction about yourself.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Hi, everyone. This is Irene Nalumanya. I met Kevin in the Northeastern Africa Bible Conference. I'm a nurse, like all of you, and I've been practicing as a nurse since 2003 to date. Yeah, I'm trained. I hold a diploma in nursing and a bachelor's in social sciences. I was trained in general nursing, midwifery, psychiatry, and community nursing. Currently, I practice in one of the pediatric clinics in Kampala.
So in order to get trained for your nursing, is that you have to go to university for several years, or how is your training brought about?
Thank you. After our secondary education, that is in Form 6, depending on the marks you get and the funding that you have, you can go for a diploma in nursing. I trained for 4 years. Currently, the curriculum was revised to 3 years. But for university, still, you can range from Form 6 to university for 4 years for bachelor. Yeah, and thereafter, you can go for master's, 2 years, and then a PhD.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what about, you say you work at a pediatrics clinic. I mean, what would be the patient flow there? How many people would you be seeing at that clinic in a day, on the average?
On average, we see 80 mother-infant pairs. Yeah, they walk into our clinic with several issues. Some of them come in with diarrhea, malaria. We have some babies who are HIV positive, but a big number are HIV negative. Mainly these days, Uganda is working hard to on mother-to-child transmission of HIV. They're working hard to prevent mother-to-child transmission of HIV, which is one of the main objectives of the clinic at which I work. So we receive these mothers in antenatal, test them, and when they get tested, we put them on those who need ARVs for their own health. I started on ARVs, and then when they produce the babies, we give them the standard of care for HIV positive mothers and the babies born to HIV positive mothers, just to prevent them from contracting HIV. And then we look after them up to at least 2 years, testing them, treating opportunistic infections for those who are positive, and treating other infections for those who are negative, just to be sure they are HIV-free by at least 18 months. That is the last time we test them. These babies are breastfeeding, so that means either the mother takes ARVs or the baby for the period of time that the child is breastfeeding. In any case, the mother is taking prophylaxis for HIV and the CD4 drops, and she requires ARVs for her own health, we have to make sure she gets the ARVs that she needs. Yeah, but we make sure we give them the, we counsel them on infant feeding, we counsel them on HIV prevention, we counsel them on family planning, and other issues that surround their day-to-day lives. Social problems are a common issue here in Africa. Family breakups. Many of them don't earn a living on their own. They have to depend on spouses. So in case the spouse walks out, you have to handle that so that the family can survive. Yeah, and many of them are single mothers. After testing, and they disclose many walk out. Others are part of polygamous families, so they really have to be supported greatly.
Okay.
Yeah.
It looks like you might be going.
No. Yeah, that's what you mean.
So, basically, as a nurse from USA, I always think that if you work as a nurse in Uganda, you will be underpaid, overworked, and exposed to dangerous situations. I mean, have you ever worked in a hospital setting, or do you do you feel that you're sort of like underpaid and overworked kind of thing, or?
Okay. Yeah. I've worked in a hospital setting before, but this was it's an international hospital set up by an Irish doctor, Dr. Clark. This one was well facilitated because he introduced this hospital in Uganda here, and he named it International Hospital and really tried to put it at the international standards. No. So that was okay. Protection was okay. All equipment available. And it was really... Yes, you're right. Our numbers are overwhelming. We really, really have so many people flow in and out of the clinics and hospitals. But given the African standards and Ugandan standards, I think we just get used to the overwhelming work. And okay, given the salaries that are given to the nurses who work with the government, we who work with NGOs are better paid than them. Yeah, because our salaries come from, actually, that we are paid by the American government.
Okay. So if you can support your family on as a nurse, if you work, and you can easily support a family, and
that's right.
Okay.
We can support our family as long as America will continue funding our clinics and hospitals. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I pray that our donors, actually I would like to take this opportunity to thank them because they've provided the funds to see us run the clinics, to see our clients get the drugs, to see us get the salaries, to make our work really comfortable. Yeah, providing all the equipment we need, the protection that we need, given the circumstances that we work in areas that are really, really highly infectious. They've really, really provided the funds so that we can acquire what we need to provide the service.
Okay. Are you going to be studying further? I mean, you mentioned a master's degree or something. Are you ever considering that?
Yeah, I'm considering going for a master's in public health. Probably if I could get a scholarship in one of the universities out there, Manchester or any, I'm considering to go for a master's in public health.
Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Northern Illinois University in Illinois has a wonderful public health department. And you might even get scholarships if you apply to Northern Illinois University. So, and then also professor in Kansas City University, there's Professor Ngui Bakanda, who's from the Congo, and he's in the public health leader. You know, that could be a connection for you if you ever wanted to study abroad. There's a definite possibility there. So I'll write it down. But would you suggest nursing for as a career for young Ugandan women? It's something to get into, or do you?
Yeah, I would. Because personally, I joined nursing because I loved it as a person. I know it's sort of a calling. You need to be ready for all the challenges that surround nursing. But it's an interesting career, surely. Yeah, it's nice. When well supported, with the opportunities of training at hand, it's a nice kind of practice. It's a nice job. First of all, you need to consider it. It's a calling. Secondly, you need to accept it. And given the clients that we deal with here in Africa, the needy kind of group, so many people are vulnerable. They truly need us. So you have to give them all that you have. The love, the nursing care, the physical care, being both empathetic and sympathetic in their care. Yeah.
In America, there's about 10% of the nurses are men. I mean, what about men nurses in Uganda? Are there men nurses?
Actually, the biggest percentage are female, but the percentage of men here actually is bigger. I would say it's like 30%.
30% men nurses?
Men, yeah.
Wow.
But some of them have left nursing and joined medicine, human medicine, as doctors. Some of my classmates have crossed over to that side.
Another thing in America, nurses go into nursing for freedom. Freedom to work the hours you want, freedom to go where you want to go. Is there freedom in nursing? I mean, here, can you pick and choose your jobs? Is there freedom for you as a nurse?
In Uganda, it's not. We have the shifts. You're expected to work 8 hours, but it is not so practical. Given the overwhelming numbers of people that we have. Actually, one thing I didn't tell you is that our health worker patient ratio, the health workers are few compared to our patients. So the time you need to hand over, the numbers are big. You just look at someone, you're living at a shift and they're just going to get overwhelmed and the patient is suffering in the line. So you have to go an extra 2-3 hours just to relieve the lines and to clear the lines so that people don't overweight. So it is not practical that we work for 8 hours, much as is what our contracts say, but you find that in a day you can work up to 11 hours. Yeah,
some of our nurses work 12-hour shifts. They choose to do that. But also, I talked to a medical student, and he said in the hospital there was like a ward of, like in the emergency room, there could be 40 patients and 2 nurses and 1 nurse's aide working with the 40 patients. Is that true? Is that kind of like the...
Yeah, actually, if you came to Mulago, which is a national referral hospital, you find a ward that has over 80 patients. With, I think, like 3-4 nurses. The patients are really so many. And one thing that is affecting our medical field is that most people are not motivated at the workplace. So they are leaving the country, joining you guys there in America. I think you've seen many black nurses that are out there.
Yeah, I have.
So they are leaving us and coming back side. Because in some areas it's not really motivating. So they are overworked. The pay, like I told you, the government pay is not so good. So what they do after studying, they practice, get the practicing license, and if they have an opportunity to come out there, America will do that.
I think America has shut the door to international nurses, but it'll open up soon because we're aging and we're going to have another nursing shortage, so I think it's going to open up. Has any of your children followed you in the nursing profession?
Actually, I don't have children personally, but even my siblings, like Ruth, I tried to pull her into nursing. I was like, no, I'm doing social work, because she didn't just like the hospital setting. Me, I'm lucky to have followed two of my aunties into, actually they motivated me to join in nursing, but my siblings, none of them. And I think I'm the only health worker in my extended family.
Another thing for American nurses is a lot of charting, you know, because there's so much liability and we want to do safety and have and chart everything, you know. What about charting, documentation? I mean, are you really big on documentation? Or in an 8-hour shift we might spend 3 hours of it charting. You know, so how is that compared to here?
It depends on the setting. You know, here we have government settings, we have private settings. Mm-hmm. For the private setting, yes, you have to check, but it's not like it's up to 2 hours. No. They designed forms that make our documentation easy. You just have to go straight to the point, fill in the missing information that will be easily interpreted by someone who's coming in on the next shift. So they, they designed charts and forms that make our documentation easy. You don't have to spend over 30 minutes documenting a lot. And when we are documenting, we document with the doctors around. So like, I'll document what I've seen as my nursing assessment. The doctor will also document his as a clinician, I mean as a physician, and just like that. And the counselor, so everyone documents their assessment, different stations and different areas.
What about working together as a team? How is the nurse-doctor relationship? Is there respect between the doctors and the nurses and co-working, or how is that? I mean, is there all different elements of care working together? Or
Actually, the relationship that we have with the physicians is what has made is what makes our work a little better. Because when I do my assessment, all I have to do is report to the physician to add on what I've assessed. And when we are assessing patients, most times we are together. The nurse is around, the doctor is around, the counselor is around, if need be, so that when the doctor is taking history, the nurse is able to chip in, the counselor is able to give a report, so that you can see a patient as a team. It saves time also, because you have another long line of people to attend to. So instead of like having each one having 40 minutes with a patient, you all use that like 1 hour or 40 minutes together. Each one collects the information they need, you make the plan together, and move on.
In America, we have to renew our license every 2 years. We have to have 20 CEUs or education units every 2 years. Is there, what certification do you got to do? You have to continually education or any certification after you become a nurse?
In Uganda, the Nursing Council emphasizes continuing medical education, both in the unit, in the center in which you work, and outside. Mm. Usually we have symposium, we have conferences, we have workshops, all that is noted. We have books for CMA that are given to us by the Nurses Council. Mm. And we renew our licenses every 3 years.
Mm.
Yeah. So you have to take it there, it's tough. Just register and they know they're still working. And there is a follow-up of your practice.
Mm.
Yeah, so that in case you do anything funny and they're not really sure of what you're doing, they can easily track you.
Okay, that's good. What about any frustration not having all the proper equipment that you know you need, but do you find yourself undersupplied at times, or not enough equipment to help your patients or to do your job?
Where I work, like I told you, for us, we are funded by, we have foreign funds come in, so it's better. But people who work in the hospitals that are funded by government, yes, it is now like normal to have shortages of drugs, shortages of like gloves and all that equipment. So what happens is that patients have to pay for, actually it is divided into private and general. Those who can afford can pay for the private service, which is a little better than the general. Or else if you come in the general, that means the doctor will prescribe the drug or write down whatever they need to use on your patient. You go out at the local pharmacy, you buy and bring in for your patient care.
Hmm. Uh-huh. So they go out and buy it and bring it back in? Okay.
Like they're used to the system.
Mm.
They know that when the doctor writes down my patient's chart, the nurse is supposed to transcribe this treatment for me to buy at the local pharmacy. And like you guys, I think we are just used to our system now.
Mm.
Yeah. That's why people who are too needy and vulnerable have really missed out. But on the other hand, I would say that the government is really trying to improve the system by putting in place, giving more funds to the health sector, but still the numbers are still overwhelming.
Yeah.
And also another challenge is that patients who are out there in the upcountry, miss on the health work, on the well-trained health workers. Because of these hindrances we have, nobody wants to go up there. They are like forgotten areas at times. You find that maybe a nursing assistant is heading a unit or an enrolled nurse like that. Yeah, but the government is really trying their best. However, it's still a struggle, but we hope they will get there.
Are you ever afraid to go to work because of exposure to dangerous diseases?
Not really. I'm not afraid. Actually, I may say that I'm afraid to go to an area because of language barrier or what the cultures, but it's not the disease.
Hmm.
I've not thought about that anyway.
I guess if you just keep the right precautions, standard precautions, you can be safe and stuff. Do you have anything to say to nurses in Illinois? Any greetings?
Yeah, I greet all of you nurses out there in America. Thank you for the good work. Please keep it up. Keep praying for us here in Uganda. We would like to serve our clients as best as we can. We need your prayers and support, and we hope maybe we will meet sometime.
Mm.
Yeah, just encourage them to keep up the good work and the nursing spirit.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you, Irene. That was a wonderful interview. And, we're like a nursing family, you know? So, God bless.
Thank you.